Michael Chong is editor of Iconocast, a hot internet online newsletter which he founded in February 1997 and sold early this year to Imagine Media. He still edits the newsletter, and he's now also Imagine's chief information architect. He's been in advertising, publishing, and software development for the better part of two decades. Before Iconocast, he founded MacWeek, Atelier Systems, and Cyber Atlas. During Internet World Spring 1998 in Los Angeles, Chong came to the CMPNet booth on the show floor, where I interviewed him with some assistance from Windows Magazine's Amy Helen Johnson. We began by asking him to describe Iconocast.
But Iconocast is aimed at Internet marketers, has about 7,000 subscribers. It was founded about a year ago. Its aim is to simplify your life, contextualize the data, of which there is too much of, and to provide people with a very good reference point to what's happening in the whole internet marketing arena, which is moving at lightning speed.
Give us your background. What qualifies you to separate the wheat from the chaff?
That's a good point. I have been involved in the advertising business for 9 years. I've had two publishing startups, including MacWeek, of which I'm best known of. And I've also worked on the software side, having been involved in one of the first desktop publishing programs called Ready, Set, Go, and also having had my own software startup company called Atelier Systems. I have sold another website to iPro called Cyber Atlas, and I just recently sold Iconocast to Imagine Media. I have done quite a bit of entrepreneuring in the high-tech community, and I've seen it from all sides, client, agencies, as well as publishers, and I bring that perspective to the marketplace.
Michael, when I started covering the internet about 3 years ago, the big promise in internet marketing was one-on-one relationships, being able to segment the market down to that single individual and what that single individual wants. Is that going to happen?
No, it's already happened. There are two ways of doing this. One is collaborative or learning systems that you can use from people like Net Perceptions, Like Minds. The other one is the what I call the ad hoc and on-the-fly targeting of users based on their visit patterns. The most prominent example of that company is Aptex, based in San Diego. And they use techniques that they borrowed from the credit card processing industries where they, and as you well know, they're quite effective. The minute you start spending a little bit too much in Paris, they call you on the phone right away. Those type of pattern recognitions are applied in e-commerce, in advertising, to customized content as well as the banners that are shown to the people that visit.
So how does the sort of the burgeoning privacy movement on the internet, how is that going to affect that? Because people don't want their click streams followed. They don't want cookies. They're very scared about having all that information collected about
them. There's two issues there. I think that one, the media, of course, tends to bring up all of the negatives of this, but the reality is consumers do want information that they're interested in. And I think that if you were to relieve them of bandwidth congestion by giving them only advertising and promotional literature that they need at the point in time that they're buying, I think you're doing them a service. Of course, there are elements in the business that are misappropriating data and are doing things with it they shouldn't be doing, i.e. spammers and the like. But, you know, you have those in every business, and I think that as people start to recognize what they can get through registration and people like eTrust start to certify a heck of a lot more sites than seven, I think you have you'll see a big thing happen.
You mentioned spam.
Yes.
That's a hot topic on
right.
the Internet. There have been a number of solutions proposed. Do you like any of them?
Well, I think that the best chance of regulating it is the Netizens Protection Act that is right now winding its way through Congress. There is a similar act in California that's being sponsored by Republican Brian Adams from Diamond Bar, Southern California, right here. I think they are extending the Fax Protection Act, as it's called, which prevents you from receiving junk faxes.
Mm-hmm.
And would limit email the same way. And I think that's probably our best guess, in addition to all the lawsuits that are being won by AOL right now and people like Juno. So that's another way to go. You also asked earlier about the e-commerce forecast. I want to just interject. The gentleman over here didn't know what it was, but the combined e-commerce sales last year on the net was $8.2 billion, and that is a lot of money. 6.66, I think, if I recall correctly, was business-to-business, and about 1.4 was consumer, or it's a 6.8, I guess. And the consumer market is going to go to somewhere around $32 billion in about 5 years. And the business-to-business market is going to go in excess of $300 billion easy. Forrester says as high as $330. To give you an idea, of the 6.8 in business-to-business consumer sales we did last year, Cisco did $1.8 billion all by itself. And Dell is technically also considered to be in the business-to-business arena, although they sell to consumers, and they did $1 billion. So those two people by themselves did 2.8 or 50% of e-commerce. That's not going to stay the same for a long time, of course.
So those are both computer companies, though. What's going to be the forecast for general goods and services?
Well, okay, good. Well, the consumer forecast that I was mentioning, the $1.4 billion, was done by people like the leading consumer people are Amazon.com, PC Flowers, CD Now, MusicBoulevard.com, and these people are doing in the neighborhood of about 50 million, about 100 million and less. Amazon did 125.
You've been listening to Net Insider. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Thanks for listening.